Hey everybody, this is Ryan Gard. I'm coming to you live from the kitchen table. It's Monday. Today's actually my day off. So I'm at home alone, which is the weirdest thing. So this morning I woke up and was like, oh, I got yard work and dishes and a sermon to write, all this stuff, because it's my like day off and I got to do it today. And I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to watch a movie. And so I sat down and like I usually watch SportsCenter. Like 7 times, but I watched a movie. And then I started to like feel bad. I was like, oh, there's so much. And I was like, shut up. No, you're going to watch this movie. I sat there and I watched a movie. Good times. But then I got up and wrote a sermon, started cleaning all the things. So Matthew 7, I'm going to be there in just a second. I noticed today, I've only looked a couple of times, but I did look today and saw how many people listen to this podcast, which made me want to sit down and do it again. And it's hilarious that we have like more people that listen to the podcast than who come on Sunday, which is beautiful. I think there could be a lot of reasons I didn't click on the like "Where are you?" button, because we have some friends in Egypt or something. But I think for some of you, this is just a bridge into a community that maybe you'd love to be a part of, but for whatever reason right now you just can't, you know. And there's actually a few really good reasons why. Maybe right now you're like, no, that's not a good idea. And so if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. So, but I'm glad you get to tune in with us, me talking to myself in my kitchen, which I'm still getting used to, but I really like it. So Matthew 7, verse 7, check this out. Ask, you know this one, and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? And Jesus, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this, that last sentence, do it to others what you would have them do to you, that sums up the law and the prophets. So quick note, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, everything else to the right up until Matthew. So like almost 2/3 of the Bible, Jesus goes, you can read that or just verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you. That's it. That sums it up. That's the whole summary. You can read the whole Old Testament or verse 12. So there's a lot there. And this is it's a podcast. Maybe I'll say it different than I said it on Sunday. This one seems like it's full of just crap. I love you, Jesus. But what are you talking about? Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. He sounds like one of those prosperity preachers. For everyone who asks receives, he says, and everyone, the one who seeks finds, and if you knock, the door is going to be opened. Really? Is that what comes to mind? Is, yeah, man, I just pray and bam, there it is, just a job. I pray and bam, cancer gone. I prayed and boom, like, is that really, is that anyone's experience? I mean, I remember seeing one pastor say that it was like, I just pray and God gives it. I'm like, well, that's fantastic, Francis, but it's not the story for me, man. I've read this and just thought, I mean, a million things at first. I thought I'd graduate to this. I thought, man, one day I'm going to be so mature and holy that he's going to be like, oh, now you're actually who I was talking about. You're the one. But that's not anyone's reality. It's just ask and God gives. No, ask and God will take away if you don't want it. That's crap. Because you prayed and prayed and prayed and that freaking kid still got cancer, right? And kept cancer, right? Like, be honest and say this verse, it's troubling. It paints this picture of God being a cosmic vending machine, you know, like a celestial big machine. I can just press the right button. And so people walk around with so much freaking guilt and shame because they don't think they're asking or seeking or knocking the right way. Like, was that too hard? Was that too soft? Was that, how many knocks is it? Maybe I just got to keep asking. I got to have more faith. Is that exhausting to anyone else? Like, it's totally troubling, this verse. Unless Jesus is talking about something else. Maybe. And before you can hang up, click stop, do whatever you got to do. But keep listening for just a minute, just to consider, is he talking about something else? Is this about prayer and like just praying the right way and asking, seeking and knocking and then getting? Or is it about something else? So chapter 6, we already been through. If you've been listening, just most recently, like it was about entrusting myself, entrusting my life to God, that I would become eventually a non-anxious person, that I wouldn't walk around burning hundreds of thousands of calories, worrying about everything. That's hard for me to do, right? That's hard for us to do when the bank account all of a sudden is like in the negatives. And Jesus is like, are you worried about that? I mean, look at that bird flying around. It's not thinking about lunch. Look at that flower. Like, yeah, Jesus, look at my bank account. And he's like, oh man, look at that bird. You're like, okay, great. The birds are fantastic. But here I am. And Jesus is teaching us like how to surrender all that, all the eating and what you're wearing and all the drinking, to become a non-anxious person. Like you'll still have emotions. You'll still have joy, and you'll still have times have fear and, you know, anxiety and those sorts of things. And for some of us, anxiety is much deeper and more complicated than that. But he's saying fundamentally, you'll be a non-anxious, trusting person. That's the invitation of the teaching here. And then he moves outside of that. So we're just in chapter 6. He moves outside of the personal sphere, that's a tough sentence. And then he starts talking about how we relate with others, how we interact with others. And if you've done this like personal work over here, then here's how you'll be able to interact with others. And then he gets into it, especially in chapter 7, starts talking about don't judge. And then he says, he basically says what goes around comes around. You don't judge or you will be judged. But he's just saying, don't try to control people. Like don't, with your plank just sticking out of your forehead, you're walking around condemning and critiquing and judging and pushing others down, and you're just trying to control them. You're trying to control them, and maybe that has something to do with how you're trying to feel about yourself. And he's like, stop that, and don't try to control them even with good things. Like don't push these like pearls on your kids. Don't use valuable things to manipulate other people to do the things you want them to do. He's not saying don't, you know, give incentives and don't reward good behavior. He's just saying don't do that so that you're basically living your life through them. Like imagine somebody's not living the life that you want them to live, like God forbid. He's going, don't try to control them. He's doing surgery. He's doing surgery on our hearts. And the result of that, it's going to go well. If you let the doctor do his thing, it's going to go well. I mean, like, if you're no longer trying to control and you're no longer trying to manipulate, even at a subconscious level, you've gone there and you realize I'm not trying to get everyone to be like pawns in my master game of life. If it's not about controlling, how do you relate with others now? And that's where I ask this question, like, is this asking and seeking and knocking, is it actually about prayer? Or is the entire flow of Matthew 5, 6, and 7 about how we relate to ourself and to others? This isn't a self-help book. If you're mad at me right now, like just open up Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The whole thing is just about how to be human. So I look at this text that at first causes this, that's just garbage kind of response. Then I go, wait, should I first read this as a teaching about how to properly relate to others? Now, asking, ask, seek, knock, asking. Let's just talk about that for a second. What is it? It's so simple, right? But what is asking? When you're asking, what are you doing? If you're actually asking someone for something, what are you doing? And the way I described it on Sunday is I just essentially said, if I'm asking, well, I'm not telling, I'm honoring like your free will. To, you can say no. Like when I'm trying to judge you, when I'm controlling you, I'm trying to force my will on you. But when I'm asking, when I'm literally asking, saying, this is my desire, this is my will, and I bring that. I'm going to bring my desire and I'm going to bring my will and what I want to the other person. But when I'm asking, it's going to come with a posture of humility in which like they can say yes or they can say no. Like you're asking and you're not forcing. So ask, seek, knock. Is that about something? Is that about So imagine this, like, here's an illustration that I use sort of on Sunday, a variation of it. But imagine it's like 2 a.m. and you're sleeping probably, unless you're one of those people who can somehow stay up till 2. That ship sailed. But imagine it's 2 a.m. and you have a dear, dear friend who is at their home at the edge of their bed, and they have just gone through hell. Like, something just horrific has happened to them that day, and they find themselves alone. They're not going to sleep. They are feeling incredibly wounded, scared, vulnerable. They just need a friend. Do you want that person to ask you for help? Like, now, right now, if it's stirred up like all these emotions of like, I wouldn't even know what to say, or maybe in, you know, maybe in the morning, maybe that's a bad illustration. Let's say it's noon, okay, and it's Saturday, and you're just chilling by the pool, and that friend is sitting in that same scenario. So now you don't have to worry about sleep. What do you want? Like, if you are sitting somewhere and you have the availability and you even have the ability to help, don't you want that friend to call? Like, if you really, truly love that person, you want them to call. Like, if you see them as a bother, you don't want them to call. But that's what they're worried about, maybe. Like, if you found out that friend was hurting and they didn't call, doesn't it feel, I've felt this before, it's felt like, wait, that's, it can almost feel like, maybe it's too strong of a word, but it can feel like betrayal. Like, you didn't ask? Like, why didn't you ask? Like, that asking, that would have created a connection between us. That's a silly way of saying it, but asking, what it does, it does in general, it connects us. If someone asks me for something, it connects me with them. And if they don't ask me for something, there's likely not as strong a connection. And the reason that they probably don't is there's one of a couple things. One, like I said, maybe they felt like, and I'll come back around to this maybe. Maybe, I'm writing it down. Maybe they feel like they're gonna be a bother. Let's talk about that in a bit. But maybe they don't because they want to be strong enough to not need your help. Like, the reason we don't is this, like, disease of independence. Like, I might have lost you just now, but it can become and fester and turn into and morph into a disease of independence. Let me use an illustration. Finish this sentence wherever you are. If you're in public, just mumble it or think it. Okay. I don't want folks looking at you thinking you're weird with the headphones in. Larry still lives with his parents. Larry is a fill in the blank. Who do you picture? Do you picture like Larry, and you've already got a picture of Larry, and he still lives with his parents. He still lives with his parents. Hey, by the way, Larry's 11. No, I'm just kidding. Larry's 49. Larry is a what? If we're going to be mean about it and you're going to whisper it, like, Larry is a kind of a loser, right? Like, that's kind of, if I say Larry still lives with his parents, Larry is a fill in the blank, you know, and I actually had folks in the church shout things out, and nobody was as mean as me because I said loser, and everyone else was like, I can't even remember. They were very nice. They're such an understanding crowd, and I was like, you're all full of crap. Because most of us finish that sentence with at least a, like, ugh, Larry. Failure to launch Larry, you know? Like, get out of the house. Why? Because we have this, and maybe it's very healthy for him to eventually get out of the house, but for most of us, even if the kid's, like, 23, we have this American Western individual, like, trajectory that if you're not on it, if you're not on the independence trajectory, like, if you're not working yourself away from needing your mom or needing your dad or needing anyone, then it's sort of like deep within us. You're a loser. And we wouldn't be like mean and say it like that, but our posture towards that person would be like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Get a job. Like, we want to say all these things because you shouldn't need us by now is what we would say. You shouldn't need anyone. And the trajectory on that train is you eventually have to be a person that never needs anything from anyone. And we wouldn't say that out loud, but if you search your heart a little bit on this one, this is so, like, deep within us and within our culture of independence, that asking for something is the last thing you can imagine doing. Because, like, listen to our language. Like, our language, it doesn't have to be the F-bomb for it to be just you know, vulgar. But imagine someone saying, like, imagine your friend calls you. What would they say? I'm so sorry to be calling you this late. Like, translation, I have sorrow because I might possibly be inconveniencing you. It grieves me that I might be asking you to do something that wouldn't be like the easiest possible thing for you to do right now. I feel so bad asking you. You ever had someone say that? I feel so bad asking you, but I just need a ride, right? I feel so bad asking you, but I just need, can I borrow? I feel so bad asking you. Like, really? Like, your soul is shriveling because you're asking me for something? Like, people say, like, I know this is the last thing you want to do. Like, I'm somewhere helping someone with something, and they'll be like, I know this is, like, the last thing you'd want to do on your Saturday. Like, you know that? Like, you know that. You do? Really? You know that? Like, I couldn't possibly be finding, like, incredible amounts of joy just being with you here, doing this with you, doing this for you. What? You? This is the last thing I'd want to do? But it comes from this posture of, like, I'm so sorry to bother you. I've had this. I've probably even said this. Like, I hate to bother you. You hate to bother me? I hate to bother you. Like, can we hate racism? Maybe let's reserve hate for misogyny. Let's reserve hate for violence against the vulnerable, you know? We can hate those things. How come nobody ever calls that kind of language out? I hate to bother you. Wait, did you say hate? Like, you have sorrow in your heart because you thought I might be asleep? Like, with a little less snark, because I speak snark, man. It's my fluent language, sarcasm. But my real thought would be like, is that where our friendship is? You hate to ask me? Is that who I am to you? Like, that is what I'm experiencing on my side of that conversation, probably at a subconscious level. I hate to bother you. I know this is the last thing you want to do. But you think you're bothering me? You think you're a bother to me? You think you're a burden to me? You don't want to ask me because that's how you think I see you? That's so sad. Now, this asking and this, like, seeking and knocking, if this is what it's about, this is actually painting a picture of a beautiful way to be human. Let that just sink in. Asking, seeking, and knocking is painting a better way to be in relationship with other humans. Now, on the flip side, because this is the way my brain works, maybe you're like me, you saw, like, some of the negatives that could come with this. I'm like, oh no. Like, what's going to happen? Like, last night at, like, 9:30, I literally knocked on our neighbor's door. Like, not our neighbor, but, like, behind us and across the street neighbor. Like, our package got delivered to their house, and they've, like, had it on their counter for, like, a week. I can see it's on their counter because I'm tall, and I was looking in their door, and I could see it, like, for days. I kept knocking. And, like, I knocked on that dude's door, and he didn't answer it, and I noticed that there were two cars in the driveway, and I was like, well, one of them's home, so I stayed. And I knocked again, and I'm that guy. It's 9:30, and I'm probably dressed in all black. I can't remember, but the likelihood is high that I was wearing black. And I'm knocking on your door. Nobody wants to answer that door. He eventually did, and he gave us our supplements because we need them, okay? But, like, you pictured what a dumb story. That really happened, and I'm sorry to the other guy. But he should have brought me my package. Anyways, the flip side of this, when you ask someone and then they actually say yes and you receive something, whatever it may be, it doesn't mean that you owe them anything. Like, receiving doesn't mean owing. Like, receiving some sort of help doesn't mean, like, receiving some sort of invitation doesn't mean you now owe them an invitation. Like, there's some sort of, like, divine scoreboard, or maybe, like, just a mental scoreboard, like, they're keeping track and you're keeping track and everybody, oh my gosh, that's exhausting. Like, there's not some sort of divine scoreboard, like a cosmic ledger or some sort of angelic audit that's taking place, that's happening when you're receiving help. Like, it's okay. Maybe you're just in a season. Maybe you're just in a long season. Maybe it's like summer in Phoenix and you've just been, now you're like, oh, now I got to repay. That's how you see that person? That's how you see the situation? Or maybe you saw it like you have someone that, like, literally, like me, knocks on your door asking for help. Maybe you have, like, a cousin who, like, literally knocks and pulls up in their car and they say, like, hey, I need gas money. And you, like, look over their shoulder and see their car that got there. And you want to be like, how did you get here? And in a car with gas, why are you asking me for money? You should have, yeah, you have that sort of person and you want to, like, instead of giving them gas money, like, oh, here's some bus money. That's going to get you further. But, like, that's some, yeah, okay. The threat is there that there is some sort of potential for manipulation or abuse with this. And avoid that. But, like, moms, if you're a mom, or think about your mom, like, but let me talk to moms. Moms, do your kids ever ask you for anything? You should have laughed just now, like, rolled your eyes. Because, yeah, like, yeah, it's from 6 a.m. to, like, 9 p.m. It's just, this house is a house of questions and requests, right? So flip it and go, all right, would you prefer kids that ask, like, all sorts of questions? Or would you, like, be honest, and would you rather have a kid that, like, never, ever asks for anything from you? Never really seems to need anything from you. Never seems to want anything from you, like, ever. Like, that'd be heartbreaking to have a kid that just doesn't seem to really want anything from you. That's not ideal whatsoever. I'd take the kid that asks me for everything all the time and has this connection of trust and has this, even this connection of, like, I still need my dad. I still need my mom. There's something beautiful about that. Like, Jesus seems far more interested that we'd understand, like, the gift of asking than the potential abuses. So, like, I want to land this plane the way Jesus did and just, like, let it drop like a helicopter safely out of the sky. Because look at what he does. He leads into a parable, like a story where he pulls in more metaphors. And he says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, and then Jesus is real nice, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And that seems to, like, wait, what did I just talk about for 22 minutes? This is about prayer, right? Like, so he's talking about bread and stone, and apparently, you know, think about it, bread back then would have looked like a big rock. So, haha, that's actually the kind of thing I would do. But not if he was really hungry. So, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Okay. So is this about us and God? Because, like, verse 12, it says, so in everything, there it is again, do to others what you'd have them do to you. That's right there. So is it about us and others, or is it about us and God? Is this teaching primarily about asking, seeking, knocking, posture of humility with others, or is this about asking, seeking, knocking, posture of humility and trust with God? Which one is it? And, like, your Western mind and mine want to go, which is it? And Jesus, in his brilliance with his, just say it, he had an Eastern way of thinking and seeing. He saw all things clearly. But this teaching answers the question by saying, yeah, it's both. It's both. And for me today, this verse is troubling if I boil it down to vending and trying to get something. But it's so helpful for me as I consider how I approach and treat others, and how I approach others when I'm in need. And just a better way to be human. So maybe if I could just be kind of straight with you, just stop apologizing for asking. You're allowed to ask. Like, stop apologizing for existing. Please stop apologizing for having needs, because every single one of us does. Like, please stop apologizing for not having it all together. And please let others, like, be your friend. Like, be the person that they want to be for you. Like, yeah, this, sure, it could go bad, but it's probably not going to. It's probably going to just get better, and your relationships are going to get better, and you're going to be a little more human because you've learned that you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to create some sort of mirage, some facade that everything's okay. Like, maybe you start with the assumption that you're loved, and that if you pick up the phone and dial, like, someone's going to answer and they're going to be glad you called. Like, who is that for you? Like, who is it that maybe we're all working through insecurities, and maybe somebody just needs to hear you say, like, Hey, just a reminder that I'm always in your corner. And if you ever need anything, you know exactly who to call. And you may not need to know that for 10 years, but today you get to know it. Like, hey, just a reminder that I'll always pick up the phone. And to all my younger friends listening, you could say, like, I'll always return the text. Because we've all got that friend that when you text them, they call you. Don't do that anymore. Just kidding. Sort of. So today I pray this was helpful for you. I love just carving out some time to dig into this stuff with you. And you're always invited when you're ready, if you're ever able to join us on Sundays. Two Sundays ago was like our biggest one ever. And then last Sunday there were like 15 people there. So I just never know if we're going to have like a packed house or if it's going to be like me and three people. It's so funny. But you're invited to come, even if you're introverted and you don't want to talk to anybody. I love those people that come. They show up and they just sit down. And they like, we literally put rows of chairs in the living room. And some of them, they just sit down and they just sit. I just love it because they're just, that's what they're at. And that's what they want to do. And I'm like, cool. If you want to come over and grab coffee sometime, fantastic. But if not, I'm rambling right now. I'm totally off my notes. And that is dangerous territory for me. So hope you have a fantastic Monday. I'm going to go pick up my youngsters from school. Have some fun with them. So this is for you. Hope you loved it. Hope it's helpful. Have a great day, my friends.